Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. Today we're talking about something a little different. We've been talking about, you know, problems and dealing with the negative things and, you know, how you need to face the oncoming, that sort of thing. But every once in a while, we want to throw something in that's just kind of an encouragement, gives you a little direction, maybe a little focus. And that's exactly what we're doing today.
We're going to help you preach. And that's good because I've heard some of you preach. So we're just in time. What we want to do is every now and then we want to help you in your preaching for revitalization because we are committed that revitalization is really centered around biblical preaching.
That's right.
And not just any preaching.
And not what do you call it? Bible bingo?
Bible bingo, where you every Sunday you get up and you preach a different text, right? I mean, that's what I grew up with many times.
Yeah.
And it was like one Sunday we're here, one Sunday we're here, and so what we want to help you do is know how to preach biblically for church revitalization. Yeah. So every now and then in one of these podcasts, we're going to give you some instructions, some insight, and some encouragement on how to preach for revitalization. And so today, this is written by Philip Howell, and we've been real impressed with it, and we are excited to share it with you. Four reasons you should preach through the Gospel of Luke in your church as part of your revitalization plan. Now, if you've preached through the Gospel of Luke, consider doing it again. If you've never done that in recent months or years, please consider it because it's an important gospel for revitalization for a number of reasons, which you are just so fortunate we're going to unpack for you today. All right. Number one, it provides your congregation with context of some of the most familiar passages in Scripture. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lioness read Luke 2, you know, to millions and millions of people on the Charlie Brown Christmas. So Luke 2 is so familiar.
Yeah.
The story of the prodigal son is so familiar.
Yep.
These parables are so familiar. And when you preach through the book of Luke, you give glorious context to these things.
Yes, exactly.
What happened before, what happened after, the context in which they're in, and they totally come to life in the hearts of your people. And they become so much deeper and so much richer. And then the next time your people hear these stories, they will understand the context of that.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Number one reason, some of the most famous and familiar stories in all of the Bible, when you preach through the book of Luke, you give them the proper context.
And this is why, just again, in terms of preaching, why expository or expositional preaching is so important for the very reason you just said. You know, when we, either of those terms, you could define this way, you know, the most simple way of saying it is the point of the sermon is the point of the text.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're preaching the text. But oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can proof text, meaning use passages out of context.
Yep.
What this does is allow us to bring, like you said, the beauty, the full picture of what these great passages that people are familiar with, what does that look like in context of Luke's gospel that makes it far more rich, I think, and applicable, quite frankly, to each of our lives.
And, you know, I know people are well-intended, and God can use his word in many different ways, and I don't want to be hypercritical here. I really don't. But, you know, people do use the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, as sort of a rabbit's foot. You know, I can do anything.
Right.
Look, I can do a lot of things. I can't run a 4-minute mile, all right?
Yeah.
I don't get what that the context of that scripture is, that there's no way I can ever be converted. There's no way I could ever be redeemed, but I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm.
And the same thing, I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you. And I mean, the context was that was for Israel at a certain place and a certain time.
Yeah.
And it's in context matters. And in expository preaching, you give the appropriate context to that.
That's right.
And so that's why it's so important. Number two, Mark, what would you say?
Observes God's opposition to the proud and grace to the humble. Okay, that's a theme in and throughout the Gospel of Luke. It's repeated throughout the Gospel. And it's hugely important. Coming back to really the heart of the Gospel is, obviously, Jesus died for sinners, and as sinners, what we've got to understand is the importance of humility before the Lord, and you see that in many different ways throughout the Gospel of Luke. But the bottom line is this. I mean, in James, we read that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you. The last thing I want is for God to oppose me. And what I know he'll do is he will oppose me if I do not humble myself by his grace before him. And that's a theme we see throughout Luke.
And even begins with Mary and the humbleness of young Mary, and how then she was exalted after her humbleness. And why is that important in church revitalization? Oh, I don't know. Because sometimes people are prideful and they don't want to humble themselves and give up some things they need to give up and change their preferences for what God wants them to do. And until they come to the place that they realize God is God and they are not, and they need to humble themselves before him and be broken before him and say, whatever you want to do with my life and whatever you want to do with my church, because it's not my church, it's your church. And they've got to come in a humble mode and a humble form and a humble fashion before the Lord, just asking him to do whatever he does, just as Mary did in Luke. And as you go through Luke, you'll see over and over how God honors those who humble before
him,
how he resists those who are prideful. And one of the problems in church revitalization is we're prideful about our past. We're prideful about what we want. We're prideful about our preferences. And so the Gospel of Luke helps us break those things down. Number three, Dan, what was that?
Baptists.
Huh? No.
Baptist. We witness Jesus welcoming sinners to his table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was all about the fellowship, and the meal represented the fellowship.
Yeah.
And Robert Karras talks about how in Luke, Jesus is either going to a meal, he's at a meal, or he's coming from a meal.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So Luke is all about interacting with sinners.
That's
interacting,
right.
Not becoming a sinner, but interacting with those who need the gospel.
And it's intentional.
Absolutely.
That's the thing that I love about it. He uses the meal as a format.
Yeah.
You know, for ministry.
And meals there's joy in meals, man.
Yes.
Listen, let's be honest. We've shared a bunch of meals the last few days.
A few.
And it's joyful, it's worshipful, it's fellowship. And I think part of why you see this, I think of Levi's house and other examples, is we want those who don't know Jesus to experience the joy of Jesus through his people.
Right. And so you see in Luke that Jesus is always interacting with people, fellowshipping people, encountering people, engaging people. And if you're going to be a church in revitalization, first of all, you got to have a sound doctrinal understanding of the scripture, because that's where it all comes from. Secondly, you got to get rid of the pride and humble yourself.
Yep.
And thirdly, you got to love people who are not like you.
That's right.
You got to love people who don't have the worldview you have.
That's right.
You got to love people who are sinful and don't desire holiness. You've got to love people that normally in your everyday life you wouldn't hang out with.
That's right.
Because that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And you've got to model that. And you've got to be outwardly focused. And so many dying churches resent the community for being what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish these people were just different. Our friend Jared Wilson at Midwestern Seminary, I heard him say one time, truth be known, I think some of us don't really care whether anybody gets converted. We just wish they would act right and live right. Just the way they behave disturbs us so much.
Yep.
Look how he's dressed. Look what she's saying. Look at the language they use.
Yep.
What's happening to our country? What's happening to these young people?
Yeah.
Man, if your heart's not broken for them.
That's right.
If you don't weep for them.
That's right.
If you don't desire to find some way to engage them and to let them know God loves them and you love them, and you're missing it.
That's
right. And when you look in the Gospel of Luke, he was criticized for doing that, right? You might have been one that might have criticized him for hanging out with those people. You know, those people need to change. And so, I mean, it's so important in Luke. And you can point that over and over again as you preach through that.
And this is where, again, with a high view of Scripture, I often say this, we have to help a dying church either establish or reestablish their doctrine of Scripture. Because here's the thing. In some ways, they may say they believe in the authority of the Bible, the inerrancy of the Bible. They may say that, but functionally, it really doesn't have the authority in that church. And the reality is you've got to get your authority right. And so I'll joke around and say, you got to make the Bible the bad guy again. And so what does that mean? It's not my word versus your word. It's God's word versus our word.
Yeah.
It's God's word that leads. And here's the thing. When you preach through Luke, and all of a sudden you're letting God's word paint a picture for your people. This isn't your new pastor saying this. This is the Son of God saying that sinners matter to God.
And it's okay every Sunday to say, who has your Bible with you? Man, we're people who believe the Bible. Do you
That's
all believe
right.
this from
totally.
Genesis to the map in the back? Yes, we believe it. Well, then let's go to
lean
it.
Lean into it.
And
That's
lean into
right.
it.
That's right.
Because one thing about Southern Baptists, they're going to tell you they believe the Bible. Now, you could go to Southern mainline denominations, and they may not.
That's right.
I was in Canada not long ago at a national Canadian Church Planting Convention for denominations all across Canada, and I was talking about our revitalization stuff, and the guy from a denomination who did not believe in the fidelity of Scripture and was very honest about that said, you know, I like what you say, but I'm not sure this will work because of, you know, your way you present the Scripture. Is there some way we could do it and not be part of that? And he was very serious.
Yeah, sure.
Because he said, look, I may believe what you say, but if I take this back to my churches, they're going to go, no, that's, we don't.
Because they don't believe
it. They don't believe. The Bible has no real authority unless I want it to. And I said, bro, there's nothing I can do
for you.
That's
right. That's
all I got is the Scripture. So in Southern Baptist life, yes. So lean into that and say, it's the book of Luke. And look what Luke does. Look how Jesus does. This is what we do. You're not there telling you do it. And you pray the Holy Spirit will begin to mold their hearts and they'll begin to see that. So number one, man, it gives you a context of all those great stories and gives some doctrinal soundness. Number two, it shows you that God, he opposes the proud and he honors the humble. Number three, welcoming sinners to the table. Mm-hmm. And number four, man, the Gospel of Luke reveals the consistent way that Jesus prayed and relied on the Spirit for everything he did.
Mm.
And in church revitalization, your people want to rely on a plan, a program, a personality, a denomination, anything but the Spirit of God, anything but prayer. And what Luke shows us that even Jesus depended upon prayer.
Yes.
Even Jesus depended upon the guidance of the Spirit. And we must too if we're going to be in revitalization.
Amen. Well said.
I can't say enough about preaching through the Gospel of Luke in revitalization. Let me encourage you to do it. And we'll wrap it up with this last statement from Philip Howell. All of these issues, the biblical understanding of the text, the danger of pride, the blessing of humility, the interaction and connection with those who are lost, and the dependence on prayer and the Holy Spirit are foundational to church revitalization.
Amen.
Man, we love you all very much. Stay connected with us at churchreplanters.com. Send this podcast to guys who need to preach through the book of Luke and let them hear about it as well. And just thank you for being part of our team. And it's a rapidly growing audience, and we're so excited for that and so grateful for that. And grateful to have Kyle, who runs the board, and Mark Halleck, who's with us nearly every single week, and Dan, who does such a great job keeping everything together.
By the way, we also want to welcome people that listen to it that are not Southern Baptists.
Yeah,
that's true. We have folks from a number of churches that aren't within that denomination.
Praise God, we love them.
And we welcome you.
Amen.
We want to encourage you here. We don't think that everybody should be Southern Baptist. In fact, we don't want everybody to be Southern Baptist.
No, we don't.
but we're glad you're here and you're listening. So thank you very much. Thanks to the North American Mission Board for helping us do this. And once again, our last episode here at New Orleans Seminary and at WBSM Studios. So thank you very much. We will be back either Tuesday or Thursday. We're broadcasting on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So you catch us one of those days or both of those days.
Or you could just wait like a month and then binge listen.
That's true.
Yeah. Just binge listen.
I can't imagine anybody. Well, I can imagine them binging, but not binge listening. That's
probably not. All right. Well, Chuck E. Cheese, let's go. I'm ready.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.